Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
And if you were with us last week, you know that I was reporting on some current events, or a current event, in my area. It actually is taking simultaneously around the world, or if not simultaneously, soon to a coming to a town near you. This is something I wanted to report on before I started a new series, which I'll probably get my foot in the door this week. The new series is actually a continuation and eventual completion of an unfinished series, which I titled Christian Magazines, One Way to Apostasy, one of many. So, before we go there, let's continue our look at the Shin Yun group, actually, which is part of the Falun Gong cult. The Shin Yun is the production, the big lavish production phase of this cult. It's really how they reach out and touch a lot of people with what they're trying to do in promoting this group. Anyway, I will mention the fact that I got this flyer, this little thing that came in the mail of one of the worship leaders at my church, and also one of our Sunday school teachers also had gotten the same literature, so I was able to abscond with one of the copies and shared with you a little bit. So I won't share a lot with you from the booklet itself, just to say that this particular production, this Shin Yun, is by their own description, 5,000 years of civilization reborn, a higher beginning. Chinese culture, like all other great civilizations of the past, has long believed that its greatest ideas, achievements, and qualities were divinely inspired, you know, inspired by God. What if we could witness this unfolding before our eyes? So I'm not going to say a whole lot more, since you can always listen to last week to read from their propaganda flyer here. I will say one more thing. The higher origins of traditional beauty, it says, over the course of five millennia, deities descended to earth and took on human form, playing all sorts of roles, from emperors to heroes, sages to generals. Their wisdom and virtue lay the groundwork for Chinese rich culture. And so this is, of course, predating Chinese communist rule, of which these people are very much opposed to. And of course, I'm very much opposed to, but I'm also very much opposed to cults, as well as the various isms out there, which control people and destroy their lives. This particular group, and there's something I didn't mention last week, it's just a little interesting tidbit. There is an instrument known as, and I don't know how to pronounce it, E-R-H-U, Erhu Solo. It is said that the Erhu is the instrument that most closely resembles the human voice. It has only two strings, but in the hands of a virtuoso, it can fill the air with tenderness, sorrow, or joy, holding the audience spellbound. So, they got their two-stringed guitar there. Actually, it's a bow-driven affair. You play it with a bow. Anyway, I thought that was just a little tidbit you might find interesting. And then a couple other things. One person who was enjoyed this, he said, unique, absolutely beautiful, so inspiring, I think I may have found some new ideas for the next Avatar movie. This is Robert Stromberg, Academy Award-winning production designer of Avatar. So there's various people from around the globe commenting and showing their appreciation for this particular group. I don't know if they recognize or if they realize it's tied to this particular cult or not. They try to distance themselves from what they really are. Anyway, and you know, the tickets are a little out of my league. You can get the cheapest ticket here locally is $83, advancing up to $123 for the event. So I don't recommend you going. Save your money, folks. Send your money to me. No, I'm just kidding. Now I sound like a TV evangelist. Just joking. Well, anyway, moving right along. So this was from their own information that I shared, and I was last week sharing from a couple of articles that I that I was able to retrieve, since there's not been a whole lot written to my knowledge by any Christian cults experts, but I was able to get information from a big critic, of course, which is the Chinese Communist Party, from their Latvian embassy, and then an article from The Guardian, which I believe is a British paper, which was sort of like somewhere in between criticizing and praising, at least to the extent that they wouldn't label it a cult. Well, it's certainly not a cult. Well, I beg to differ. But anyway, finally, the final article that we didn't get a chance to go through was written by a gentleman named Rick Ross. It's called Is Falun Gong a Cult? This is put out by the Cult Education Institute, which is his information. I would call it a ministry, but I don't believe this man. I'm pretty confident he's not a Christian, but he's pretty good with a lot of different cults, and he quotes some real classic cults experts, probably most of which are also not Christian cults experts, but are cults experts. So without further ado, let's quote from this article from January 2009 about this particular group that hails from mainland China. Definition of a cult. Noted psychiatrist and author Robert J. Lifton developed the final definition of a cult. The following definition of a cult. This definition is focused primarily upon three principal criteria and was first published in a paper titled Cult Formation in 1981. 3 points. The first one, a charismatic leader who increasingly becomes an object of worship as the general principles that may have originally sustained the group lose their power. Now remember, this is one definition of a cult. You know, there's been a variety of definitions. This is Robert J. Lifton's, and he was kind of an expert on mind control, thought reform type thing. The second principal criteria, a process of coercive persuasion or thought reform. And three, economic, sexual, and other exploitation of group members by the leader and the ruling coterie. Falun Dafa, which is another term for Falun Gong, or at least is a term for their grand scheme or grand theory or what have you, I believe, as I understand it. Falun Dafa and Lifton's three criteria. A charismatic leader who increasingly becomes an object of worship. Well, exclusive claims made by Li Hongzhi, and he's the one, of course, who invented this cult, which are implicitly accepted by Falun Dafa practitioners without exception, are the defining principles of the group. A charismatic leader who increasingly becomes an object of worship. He repeats that again, that same first criteria. And then he goes on to say, exclusive claims made by Li Hongzhi, which are implicitly accepted by Falun Dafa practitioners without exemption, are the defining principles of the group. For example, Master Li purportedly possesses supernatural powers. Mr. Li claims to know the top secret of the universe and says no religion can save people but the almighty Fa, which he exclusively represents. He is therefore essentially the chosen savior of man. The biography of his book, Zuan Falun, claims that he first recognized his special powers at the age of 8. And I think some of these powers are the powers of lying and deception. That's my own little comment there. Li Hongzhi's teachings also include the spinning Falun, which is a mystical wheel of law that he claims to be able to insert into his disciples' abdomens telekinetically. And we mentioned a little bit about that in one of the articles last week. Such fantastic exclusive claims about a leader fit the classic profile of a personality-driven cult. Falun Dafa followers believe that Li Hongzhi is always right, and they are not allowed to question the basic assumptions concerning his purported supernatural powers, teachings, and or opinions. His authority and infallibility appear to be absolute for the true believer, and therefore beyond what Falun Dafa followers consider reasonable doubt. Examples of the intense devotion of Li Hongzhi has effectively engendered among his followers include a television network and a newspaper called the Epic Times, both run by Falun Dafa adherents. Devotees also maintain numerous websites, and there are schools to perpetuate Mr. Li's teachings. Frequent public demonstrations and events staged around the world also reflect the intense devotion of his followers. And, of course, I've seen some of these, by the way, as I traveled around the world. I've seen more than one occasion I've seen this group out there. And believe me, they are committed and they are intensely devoted. While Li Hongzhi talks about truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, neither he nor his followers actually demonstrate any tolerance, you know, forbearance or tolerance, synonym there, concerning critical questions or inquiry. Within Falun Dafa, Li's followers are not allowed to question the basic assumptions of the group, and criticism from outsiders is often characterized as persecution. Persistent critics of Li Hongzhi and Falun Dafa have been repeatedly subjected to personal attacks, threats of litigation, and frivolous lawsuits. Sounds a little bit like Scientology to me. Li Hongzhi remains an absolute authoritarian leader with little, if any, accountability, and there appears to be no limit to the scope of his personal power and influence within Falun Dafa. And now here's the second principal criteria of Mr. Lofton that's mentioned here. Lifton, I'm sorry. A process of coercive persuasion or thought reform. Sociologist Richard J. Offshee explains, coercive persuasion and thought reform are alternate names for programs of social influence capable of producing substantial behavior and attitude change through the use of coercive tactics, persuasion, and or interpersonal and group-based influence manipulations. This is accomplished, according to Offshee, by intense interpersonal and psychological attack to destabilize an individual's sense of self and to promote conformity within the framework of an organized peer group. And again, sounds a lot, you know, sounds like there's some hints of Scientology type. It's not Scientology related. It's not related to Scientology anyway, but it just reminds me somewhat. And also EST, Erhard Seminar's training years ago, which went through a name change at some point, but it was kind of a new age training. And these are a couple of groups that came to mind as I was reading this. Li Hongzhi, through Falun Gong, has promoted unreasonable fears about the outside world, such as impending catastrophe, evil conspiracies, and persecutions. Well, I don't know if that's totally unreasonable these days, but anyway, you know, used in his hands, it's probably unreasonable. Well, it is unreasonable the way he's using it for his own goals. He teaches his followers that the earth would have been destroyed, but he saved it. He also claims that gods will destroy those he disapproves of, and that his followers must practice his prescribed program of spiritual cultivation or risk obliteration. And as I mentioned last week, and maybe this week, I can't remember if I used this quote, but the old saying, if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. So I don't have much doubt about it being a cult from what I've analyzed so far. For Falun Gong followers, there is no legitimate reason to disagree with and or leave the organization. Former followers are always wrong in leaving, negative, or even seen as evil. While they may appear to be free to leave, they often fear the consequences. Mr. Li asks his followers to continuously keep cultivating, and you'll keep seeing that phrase throughout this article, cultivating and go on and on cultivating until they reach perfection, something that no one can ever realistically hope to achieve as an ordinary man and woman within their lifetime. Such perfectionism is then supposedly deferred and only reachable in other dimensions. And again, to me, it sounds a little bit, you know, this spiritual cultivation sounds a little bit like getting clear through Scientology, becoming an operating thetan, you know, wherein you become perfect, you become a god. Again, it's not Scientology, but I can see why others, including myself, are kind of reminded of Scientology as you study this material. Li Hongzhi's program of coercive persuasion largely relies upon the cultivation not only of unreasonable fears, but also prejudice, which ultimately serves to isolate and control his followers. Master Li manipulates the thinking and feelings of his followers to develop a certain seemingly predetermined and desired mindset. In Mr. Li's worldview, mixed-race people are part of a plot contrived by the evil extraterrestrials. By mixing the races of humans, The aliens make humans cast off gods, he told a gathering in Switzerland in 1998. And again, a little bit Scientology-ish, if you will, as that is somewhat of a extraterrestrial cult, which is unknown to a lot of people, or not known by many people, that Scientology has that tie-in with extraterrestrials. According to Mr. Lee, the offspring of mixed-race unions are therefore intellectually incomplete or with an incomplete body. In such cases, only he, Master Lee, can help and take care of it, that is, resolve the incomplete state. However, that can be done only if such a person wants to practice cultivation. Again, back to this idea, this spiritual cultivation. In describing, describing her experience with Falun Dafa, cult expert and clinical psychologist Margaret Singer said that a practitioner will actually say, don't think, just recite the master's teaching. And once again, I would say, definitely a duck. Among Falun Dafa's many questionable mind-altering practices, this command to stop thinking and continuously recite the master's teaching, when heeded, meets the main criterion of cult control. American communication researchers and cult experts Flo Conway and Jim Siegelman describe in their book Snapping, America's Epidemic of Certain Personality Change, almost every, that was the quote from that book, excuse me. And again, I would say that you can see similarities there to, say, Reverend Moon's Unification Church, where he's made the statement, you know, I am your brain. You know, you don't have to think. I'll think for you. Almost every major cult and cult-like group we came upon teaches some form of not thinking or mind control as part of its regular program of activity. The process may take the form of repetitive prayer, chanting, speaking in tongues, self-hypnosis, or diverse methods of meditation. And by the way, Kurt Cook, who was an expert on demonology in his books, I remember reading, he talked about something, you know, he referred to as autosuggestion, which is very similar to self-hypnosis, and the idea that through emptying the mind and getting into a passive state of mind, one could actually experience all type of alternative realities, etc. Now, not to concern anyone. He mentioned speaking in tongues, and I know there's a variety of views on speaking in tongues and what have you. And so I would just say that, there are those folks who are true believers that speak in tongues. There are those who don't. But there is a counterfeit experience of speaking in tongues that Kurt Cook referred to in his books. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time like that, but that probably caught some folks' ears as these folks who are non-believers spoke of repetitive prayer, chanting, speaking in tongues, self-hypnosis, etc. It says such techniques, when practiced in moderation, may yield real physical and mental health benefits. Prolonged stilling of the mind, however, may wear on the brain physically until it readjusts suddenly and sharply to its new condition of not thinking. When that happens, we have found the brain's information processing capacities may be disrupted or enter a state of complete suspension, disorientation, detachment, hallucinations, delusions, and in extreme instances, total withdrawal. Now, I believe the third criteria that was mentioned by Mr. Lifton is economic, sexual, and other exploitation. It says exploitation of group members by the leader. Former Falun Dafa followers, the families of devotees, and others concerned often relate the same allegations of abuse, which reflect a similar pattern of grievances. Mr. Lee teaches his followers that illness is caused by the evil deeds of a sick person in this life or a previous one. According to his teachings, modern medicine treats only the symptoms of a disease and not its underlying spiritual cause, which can be cured only by practicing Falun Gong. The only way to find yourself comfortably free of illnesses, Li Hongzhi writes in Zuan Falun, is through cultivation practice, you know, spiritual cultivation. The complaints I have received about Falun Dafa are almost often directly related to teachings about spiritual cultivation, which may preclude seeing a doctor and or taking prescribed medication. As a result of such teaching, some of Mr. Lee's followers have reportedly died due to medical neglect, while many others have needlessly exacerbated their medical conditions. I have also received serious complaints within the United States regarding the damage done by Falun Dafa through family estrangement. This has particularly occurred when families question and are critical of Mr. Lee and his teachings. It should be noted that Master Lee, has apparently accumulated substantial assets through his work within Falun Dafa. There you go. It's good to be the cult leader, is it not? Well, until the final judgment at the White Throne Judgment of God. But anyway, that is the that concludes the update that I wanted to give you on this particular group. If you're in a larger city or even a smaller, you know, not as large city as I'm in, you're liable to come across these folks. So don't be taken in if you're one of the artsy type people. When you see the advertisements, when you hear about the Shen Yun, just save yourself $83 to $123 or whatever they're charging. And trust me, don't be persuaded by the heretical views that are going to come through this big, lavish production here. Now, as I mentioned, I want to get back to a series that I started some time ago and had to break into that series, actually, through no fault of my own at the time. My computer basically died at that time, and I stopped the series, you know, until I could get back in the saddle again. I had a wonderful, my wife's eye doctor, long story short, as I had shared this before, was the, and I did, we didn't really know these people. We had just started going to them, or my wife had, for her eye, you know, she had the operation, cataract surgery. But anyway, long story short, they were Christians, and God worked it out so that they were able to provide a new computer for my ministry, because they found out that I was interested in prophecy-oriented and related stuff. And anyway, it was a blessing from God and provided a need that I had, because financially, you know, that's cults ministries, discernment ministries are not, you know, heavily supported. Let's just, again, not to sound like a TV evangelist, but really to give the glory to God how this computer was provided to me from the Lord through Dr. Hayden. And then as I got back, as I got the computer back ready to roll, which took some time, I eventually moved on to a different series. So eventually, like I say, I wanted to get back to this series. And, you know, basically God moved me in a different direction after I got the computer up and running again. And that's why I wasn't able to complete that. And actually, I have another series that I plan on completing sometime in the future, too, that I didn't quite finish. It was called The Ghosts of Liberalism, Past, Present, and Future. And I got through The Ghosts of Liberalism, Past and Present, and part of the way through the future, but I never got around to finishing that particular series, which I will. I still have the materials all lined up. And sometimes the Lord leads in a different way than what you're thinking, or sidetracks you into another way of going, and that's basically what happened with me. And so if the Lord tarries and I'm still around, I plan on completing that series as well. I figured this would be a good time, though, to work on this particular series, the Christian Magazine's One Way to Apostasy series, because I had ran across the Berean Call newsletter, Dave Hunt's ministry, that is headed up by T.A. McMahon now, and the July 2019 and August 2019 newsletters were committed to what he refers to as a Berean exercise, Christian magazines. And, you know, that ministry is such a good discernment ministry, and Dave Hunt was always one of my heroes. And when I saw those articles, I put them aside and I said, you know, eventually I ought to get back and finish my own Christian magazine series. And so there was lots of good grist for the mill that were in these particular articles. And, of course, I'm sure Mr. McMahon has addressed, and Dave Hunt has addressed, I know they have, addressed a lot of the issues and some of the heresies that have come out in some so-called Christian magazines. But I just was, you know, when I ran across these articles, I said, okay, now would be a good time to go back and complete that, since I had finished up the other series you know, a couple of weeks ago before I took my hiatus of a couple of weeks rest, a couple of weeks break. And so this is, and I want to get the other, because I have limited time, I think here, I'll say that, yeah, this is a Berean Exercise, Christian Magazines, Part 1 and Part 2. And before, actually, I'm not going to get far because I only have a few minutes left. So I'm going to say that, you know, be with us next week, and we'll be getting both feet in we'll stick both feet in it, if I haven't already, into this series. But I'm looking forward to it, and I'll just give you a little spoiler alert that I have actually, in my series before, I already covered three magazines. I had covered Charisma, Sojourners, and I got part of the way through Relevant magazine. So there's still going to be a few more that I'm going to deal with. But in these two articles, in the first, and one that I haven't dealt with yet that I was going to deal with eventually, and that was Christianity Today. So in the first article, he deals with Christianity Today, and in the second, he deals with Charisma, which, of course, I had already dealt with individual copies from the past. But the subject matter of these two newsletters is great because they're things that I didn't glean out of the copies that I had. So, and, you know, I don't have, you know, I was using some of the older copies. So, no, so there's a request. If anybody has any newer copies of what I would say are suspect Christian magazines that you don't need or that you would like me to examine, just send them my way. Just contact me at Rapture Ready Radio, and I might be able to make use of things that if you have no use of at this point in time. So anyway, without further ado, I'm now going to close the program because we don't have enough time to go into this. But I hope you'll be with us next week because I think you'll find it very interesting to see, you know, if you haven't already heard of some of my other podcasts, the ways and means which deception has been coming through so many of the Christian magazines and are one of many ways that apostasy is in the church and is continuing in the church. So God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you'll be with us next week. Good night.